I'd like to talk to you about something that might help you in your Christian life. Most everybody in here, if not everybody, believes in the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most powerful part of Christianity. It's the foundation. Paul said, if we have no resurrection, then our faith is in vain. We're just spinning our wheels. It's everything. And really, the death, burial, and resurrection is all kind of encompassed in one experience with our Lord. But the resurrection is powerful. It means being raised from the dead, just like Lazarus. And it is so pivotal in the Christian faith. When you talk about power, I saw, I'm sure many of you did too, the video of the two explosions on Palm Sunday last Sunday in Egypt. These were Coptic Christians. The Coptics believed that John Mark was actually the one who went down to Egypt to share the gospel there in the first century. And the Coptics later on came as a result. Drew and Chuck Garza and I, time passed. We got to spend a few days with the Coptic monks in their monastery down by Corpus Christi, because I didn't know anything about the Coptic church. And we had a wonderful time. They were just lovely people and just took us in, and they were just so nice to us. So when I read about and heard about this story in Egypt, it really caught my attention, since I did have this tinge of a relationship with some Coptic believers. The article says 44 people were killed in suicide attacks. The Islamic State claimed responsibility. In the interview, the widow addressed the perpetrators of the attack. So this woman, her husband was killed last Sunday. She said, quote, "You took my husband and the father of my children, but I forgive you. I ask that God will forgive you as well. My husband is gone. I want to be with him. I want to be next to him. But I'll say one thing to you," talking to her perpetrators, "listen to me when I tell you I forgive you. I really forgive you." One of the other young men that had relatives in that blast said this: "It's true that we Christians live by the teachings of Jesus Christ, who commanded us to love our enemies. On Good Friday, we ask our Father to forgive these people. We are the salt of the earth, spreading love wherever we are. Our blessings to our Coptic brothers in Egypt." And then another said, "This is what Jesus Christ said 2,000 years ago. He said, 'You have heard to love your loved ones and hate your enemies. But I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who don't love you. Pray for those who harm you and oppress you.' And that's what every Christian ought to say." Now, those are powerful words. What a powerful message. Well, the gospel is powerful. It's huge in the Christian life. But I want to say to you this morning, as I thought about this, little things can sometimes diminish big things. Sometimes a little thing can shadow a big thing. Now, you guys probably remember this story, speaking about another monastery. This young man decided to be a monk, and so he joined this particular monastery. And this monastery was a little unusual, because in this monastery, you could only say two words every 5 years. You were forbidden to speak at any other time. Well, this little monk, he spent his first 5 years in the monastery. And at the end of the 5 years, he had to meet with the Monsignor. So he was having his little interview, which he didn't get to say much. In fact, he only got to say two words. And the Monsignor said, "Okay, what would you like to say?" He said, food bad. Well, another 5 years went by, and it was time to have his little interview with the Monsignor again. The Monsignor said, okay, what would you like to say? And he said, bed hard. Well, another 5 years went by, so now we have a total of 15 years. He'll get his sixth word in. Has his interview with the Monsignor. Monsignor says, well, let me have it. He said, I quit. The Monsignor said to him, I'm not surprised, because all you've done since you've gotten here was complain. Here's the problem. It's not that you believe in the resurrection in here. It's what you do with it out there. These words were powerful. They resonated, I know, with many people all over the world. They could have said something else. They could have complained. You know what a complaint is? We complain when we don't feel like we've been treated fairly. Do you want what's fair from God? You don't, do you? But we do that with other people. In fact, we do it not just with people, we do it with things and stuff, and we do it with circumstance. We've talked about people that blow up, we talked about people that clam up, we talked about people who whine and who pout. Which one are you? I'm all four. Do you know where these sermons come from? They come from experience. I was doing my taxes this week. In fact, Danny Finner has become my best friend. He was in the early service. You know what he does for a living? He works for the tax appraisal district. Because this message is about complaining and not complaining. He says, thank you, Brother Mike. Because he hears it all day long. I was doing my taxes this week, and so I'm going through. Allison had all our credit cards listed, you know, with all our stuff. And I'm going through this thing, and in one particular month, I see there was a $2,000 hit. And it looked like it was for some travel thing. I said, we didn't go anywhere in December. I know it. We didn't spend $2,000. Well, Allison, she handles all our finances. So I immediately got on the phone. I said, Allison, what is this $2,000? She said, I don't know. I said, well, I don't know either. I said, man, it looks like somebody hit us on this thing. You would have seen that at the end of the month. She said, well, I didn't. I got to go. Click. So then I called the credit card people. I mean, I was complaining inside. I'm like, oh, this is terrible. Oh, this is terrible. So I called the credit card people, and I said, $2,000. I said, oh, we didn't do this, ma'am. I said, what is this? She says, well, let me go. She said, do you want to report this, you know, as a, you know, you didn't do this? And I said, yes, I want to do that. She said, well, let me look at the time frame. She said, uh-oh. She said, you're one day too far gone. She said, if you called me yesterday, it'd have been all right. I said, well, can you tell me anything about it? And I mean, I'm just wanting to just sink low. She says, well, she said, it looks like the person who put this charge on, she said, do you know a Drew Clements? I said, yes, ma'am, I do. And all came back to me. Drew had charged his honeymoon on our credit card. Of course, he had asked us that he could do that, but I didn't remember all that, and I let Allison have it on the phone. It's a good thing she's already saved. Because if I would have had to witness to her after that, it might not have gone very well. That's the problem. That's the problem. We When we complain, it's like the power of God leaks out of our lives. You see, all you guys, you know, most everyone in here, you believe in the resurrection. I don't have to convince you. No, what I need to do is encourage you to share that message out there in power. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God, the power to save the Jew first and also the Gentile. You diminish that. Now, you don't diminish the power in and of itself. You diminish your ability to be able to share and express that power when you complain. You remember Moses with the people of Israel. Israel, they came to Moses, came back and forth, and they kept complaining to him about their food. They didn't like it because God always fed them, you know, quail and manna. And they just like, all we have is quail and manna, manna and quail. Can't we have something else? We're tired of all this. And they really were complaining. So Moses went to the Lord, and he said, God, he said, these people, they don't like what you're feeding them. They're complaining. And God says, Moses, they're not complaining to you. Their complaint is not to you. Their complaint is to me. You see, when we don't feel like we're treated fairly, we begin to complain. It could be stuff, it could be circumstance, it could be people. When people don't treat us right, we want to, and listen, things are going to happen out there in the light. Things are going to happen in the church. Things are going to happen. Stuff are going to spill over. Things are not going to work right. Car's going to break down. We're not going to have enough money maybe this month. I mean, you know, you name it. You've been there. It's all, and you're in the mix of all these people out there in the world, and they are watching you. And if you're one of these people at work that's just wing, 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 and you're just whining all the time, or if somebody says, you know, just some, you know, half a syllable and it throws you into a pout, it throws you into a clam up. I've done it, man. I've done it all. Listen, what kind of witness are you going to have about the gospel, about the rest? Do you think they're going to really want what you have? So here's what we got to do. I got to wrap all this up. This is a quick message. First thing you got to do, you got to remember. This helps. As I was listening to my New Testament this week, and I particularly went through the end of the Gospels as I was working through this week. So over here in the Gospels, the name Barabbas came up. And Barabbas was in prison. He was held by Pilate. One writer, John, said that he was a thief. Another writer said he was a murderer. Notorious, that's the word used. Bad guy. And so Pilate gets this idea, hey, listen, I can get out of this deal because I can offer everybody Jesus or I can offer them Barabbas. And he thought it was a slam dunk. He said, surely they'll pick Jesus. And guess who they picked to be crucified? Not Barabbas. And the Bible said, and I'm listening to this, you know, like you have all listened to it, and the Bible says, and they let Barabbas go, but they took Jesus and nailed him to a cross. Here's what we need to remember. We could have been in that place of Barabbas. You see, because each of us deserved to die on that cross. We didn't deserve eternal life. We deserve death and sin because of our sin. But they let Barabbas go. And so the Lord, the gospel message is, even though we were guilty, Jesus took our place. They took him and he let us go. He released us. Jesus did this for us. Do I have anything to complain about, knowing about what Jesus did for me on the cross? Not really. Remember. And then reject. So little things are going to come up. Today, some of you ladies are going to get in the kitchen today. It's going to be busy. People are going to be in your ways. Something might spill over or whatever. No, I'm going to reject the temptation to complain. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to replace it with thanksgiving and praise. Because I ultimately don't want to diminish my ability to share the good news of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world. Does that make sense? So we can do that today. Now, one other thing you got to do, and really this is the first thing in James, it says, no man, chapter 3, can tame the tongue. It's impossible. But yet God wants your tongue tamed. If you can't do it, how's it going to happen? One more T, you need to trust. You need to trust. So every day, when I'm walking Hudson, I'm praying, and I'm saying, Lord, I'm trusting you to tame my tongue today so that what will come out is not poison, not ugliness, not pouting, not whining, not complaining, but praise and thanksgiving, even when people don't treat me fairly, so that the gospel will truly be exclaimed through my life with power and people will be saved. Now let's bow our heads and we'll pray. Is there any complaint in your life today? Is there any complaint that the Lord has put his finger on? Right now, ask the Lord to forgive you. Lord, I just ask you to forgive me for filling the blank. And I choose to replace that complaint with thanksgiving and praise. I remember what you did for me on the cross, and I transfer my trust from my own effort in taming my tongue to the power of Jesus Christ. I trust you to tame my tongue. I trust you to help me so I won't complain. And while you're praying about that, maybe, as I spoke about earlier, there's somebody here today that wants to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way. Right now, he will come into your life if you'll invite him in. Let me help you. Pray this prayer with me to him. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you are God. And because you love me, you died on the cross for me. Thank you. Lord Jesus, I receive you. Come into my life. Forgive me for my sins. And take me to heaven when I die. And please, Lord, change my life. Make me the kind of person you want me to be.